Gradual spiritual correction. Faith above reason allows a person to perceive his greatest enemy, the one who stands in his way of attaining goodness, precisely by reason. A person senses and perceives evil only to the degree that he believes above reason in spiritual pleasure. Objectively, there is nothing else but the Creator, but this realization occurs on the highest level of Kabbalistic perception. Until that time, however, a person perceives himself in this world as well. In the process of gaining perception, one comes to understand what is, 1, the Creator, 2, first creation, 3, creations, and 4, the pleasure that the Creator wishes to bestow upon his creatures. The entire progression naturally unfolds in accordance with the chain of cause and effect rather than in time. The Creator exists. The Creator wishes to bring forth a creation in order to gratify it. The Creator generates the desire to be delighted precisely by that pleasure, both in quantity and in appearance, that he wishes to give. The first created being is called Malchut. The first apprehension by the created being of the light of the Creator is known as the world without end. The name without end is used because in that state, the created being received the light of the Creator without causing any limitations on the amount of light it received. The created being gained much enjoyment from its receiving of the light. However, when along with the enjoyment, it also sensed the Creator himself, this desire to bestow, since Malchut longs to be similar to him, this brought about that Malchut eventually rejected receiving the light, and the light then departed. This action of Malchut is called restriction. The restriction of the reception of the light, or tzinsum. The Creator has no lack, so Malchut cannot give to the Creator in the same way that the Creator gives to Malchut. How can Malchut give to the Creator? By complying with the Creator's will, which is to bestow good to the created beings, and receiving from the Creator, thus pleasing the Creator. And this is considered giving on the part of the created being. Malchut can only change the form in which it receives. This change can be achieved by adding to its reception the intention of pleasing the Creator. The first stage required in order to reach this new form is the restriction, that is to say, having the light leave. The restricted Malchut later became divided into many parts, or souls, in which each one separately corrects his egoism. These small portions of Malchut, devoid of the Creator's light, are then put in the condition and situation that we call our world. After this, little by little, these portions leave the desire to receive for themselves and acquire a desire to bestow while they're found in the condition of our world. The force that aids the soul to depart from the egoistic inclinations is known as the salvaging one, the Messiah. The levels of gradual spiritual correction are called the spiritual worlds, while the inner graduations are known as sephirot. The aim of correction is the return to the original state before the restriction, at which pleasure is received not for one's own sake, but for the sake of the Creator. Such a condition is known as the end of correction. All the questions that arise in a person about the goals of creation and the goal of his effort, such as, is it necessary? In any case, the Creator will act according to his own plan and desires. Why does he require anything of me? Etc. All of these arise because they're sent directly by the Creator. So one more question occurs to one. What for? If all the questions that arose in a person concerning the creation strengthened him in his way to the spiritual, then the meaning of the questions would be clear. But in those that first embark on this journey, there are constant thoughts about the difficulties, the hopelessness, and the disadvantageous aspects of this path. There's no other force and desire other than the Creator, and all is created by the Creator for gaining an understanding of the purpose of this creation, including, of course, the disruptive questions, thoughts, and forces that hinder our progress to Him. The Creator put many obstacles on the path that He decided that one must follow for spiritual elevation precisely in order that a person should acquire a fear that perhaps he will not reach the goal of perceiving the Creator's grandeur and will forever be left in his lowly state. This perception can convince his heart to want altruism. A person must understand that only the Creator can open his eyes and his heart to the recognition of the greatness of the spiritual. Disruptive questions arise specifically in order that he should feel this necessity. One of the most fundamental questions that arise in the beginner can be phrased in the following manner. If the Creator wanted, He could reveal Himself to me. And if He were revealed to me, then I, my body, egoism, my present dictator, immediately and automatically would agree to replace my egoistic acts with altruistic ones, and the Creator would become my dictator. I do not want the freedom to choose my own actions. I believe that the Creator is correct, that the best thing for me is not to think about my own gain. Only then will I truly deserve. But I cannot change myself, so let the Creator come and do that for me, since He created me in this manner, and only He can correct what He's done. The Creator could certainly give a person a desire and feeling for the spiritual, the so-called awakening from above. However, if the Creator did so, then the person would never be able to escape the dictatorial rule of the egoistic desire to gratify himself. And then he would be forced to work for the sake of pleasure without free choice. Such work is not considered to be done for the sake of the Creator, but instead for the sake of receiving pleasure. The goal of the Creator is to induce a person to choose the right path of his own free will, thus justifying the actions of the Creator in creation. This can be comprehended only in conditions of complete freedom from egoism, regardless of personal pleasures. For this reason, the Creator formed a condition essential for the spiritual elevation, the acceptance of faith in Him, and of the fairness of His supervision. Given the above, our task amounts to the following. 1. To believe that there is a ruler to the world. 2. To recognize that although, for us, faith may not be important, still the Creator specifically chose this path for us. 3. To believe that we must follow the path of giving and not the path of receiving. 4. While working for the sake of the Creator, to believe that He accepts our work despite how it looks in our eyes. 5. In the process of self-development, to pass through two categories of faith above reason. A. A person proceeds with faith above reason because he has no other alternative. And B. Even if we receive sufficient knowledge that he no longer needs to rely on faith above reason, nonetheless, he chooses to follow the path of faith above reason. 6. To know that if work is done within the grounds of egoism, then the fruits of all success, which in his imagination a person hopes to reach, go towards a person's own pleasure, whereas when a person loves the Creator, he will hand over all his benefit and all the fruits of his efforts to others. 7. To thank the Creator for the past, because on this depends the future, since to the degree that a person appreciates the past and thanks the Creator for it, to this degree he appreciates what he received from above and is able to preserve the help that he received from above and not lose it. 8. To carry out the primary work, which is mainly in the advancement along the right line with a feeling of completeness. That is to say, that he is happy even with a small correction that he's had spiritually. He is happy that he deserved to receive the desire and abilities to do even the slightest thing in the spiritual realm before the Creator. 9. To advance also in the left line. However, 30 minutes per day are sufficient in order to reflect on how much he prefers the love of the Creator over self-love. And to the degree that the person feels his lacks, to this measure, he is obligated to request in prayer to the Creator concerning these feelings that he should draw closer in the true path that specifically combines the two lines. In the work itself, the person is obligated to concentrate his thoughts and desires in order to, 1. Learn the ways of the Creator and the secrets of Kabbalah so that his knowledge can help him to fulfill the will of the Creator, and this is the main goal of the person. 2. To long to completely correct his soul and to return it to its root, the Creator. 3. To long to apprehend the Creator and to cling to him with the recognition of his perfection. The Creator is in a state of absolute rest. Also, the person who achieves the goal of creation attains this state of absolute rest. It is clear that this state of rest can only be appreciated by someone who has previously been in conditions of movement, toil, and work. Since what is being referred to here is spiritual rest, it is clear that the intention is that the movement, toil, and work that the person felt beforehand is also spiritual in nature. Spiritual work consists of striving to bring pleasure to the Creator. All our work begins precisely when our body, or our desire to receive, opposes the work, which is without any self-benefit, because it, the body or egoism, does not understand the implications of altruistic work and does not feel any reward in it. Great efforts are required for a person to withstand the justifiable complaints of the body. For a great period of time, you torture yourself in an effort to gain some understanding of the spiritual. And what do you receive in return? Are you acquainted with someone who excelled in this task? Is it possible that the Creator wants you to suffer in this manner? Learn from your own experience. What have you achieved? With your state of health, is it thinkable to abuse yourself like that? Think of yourself and your family, of your growing children. If the Creator so desires, He will continue to lead you further in the same manner that He's brought you to the Kabbalah, since in everything only the Creator rules and leads. All the aforementioned complaints, and many other similar ones, often heard from relatives who are also related to the concept of the body, are absolutely justified. But there are no answers to give them, and answers are not needed. Because if a person desires to exit from the boundaries of his body, he simply must not accept these arguments and not pay attention to them and say to himself, "The body is right, the arguments are logical, its complaints are true, but I want to exit the body," that is to say, from its desires, "and therefore I follow the path of faith and not the path of common sense. Only in our world is my reasoning considered to be logical. However, in the spiritual world, even though I don't understand this, since I don't yet have spiritual vision and spiritual intellect, everything works according to a different law, which at the moment appears strange to me since it's not founded on a basis of physical reality. All functions by the law of the omnipotence of the Creator and by the complete and voluntary surrender to Him, both in mind and in spirit. In other words, in complete faith in His help, contrary to the body's protestations. Work like this by a person on himself is called to bestow for the sake of bestowing, that is, a pure altruistic act, which is represented by the right line. He gives everything simply because he desires to give. The pleasure received from such work derives from the resemblance to the Creator, since one only gives like the Creator. This is called the light of faith, or mercy, or chasadim. If a person attempts to behave in this manner, then the Creator opens to a person the feeling of the infinite grandeur and power of the Creator. Faith gives its place to knowledge. The body begins to feel the importance of the Creator and is ready to do anything for His sake because the perception of importance, the acquiescence of the Great One to receive anything from a person, is accepted as the attainment of pleasure. But in this case, a person once again feels that he is progressing with the body. It is not the greatness of the Creator, but the pleasure and the personal confidence in the work done for the sake of the Greatest One that determines his actions. Thus, once again, he falls into the bosom of egoism and personal gain. Precisely the period of the complete absence of the perception of the Creator allows him to insist that he act for the sake of the Creator altruistically, spiritually. The revelation of the Creator, that is represented by the left line, is known as the knowledge of the light of wisdom. Therefore, the revelation of the Creator brings forth the necessity for strict restrictions on the acquisition of knowledge, management, and perception of the grandeur, so as to balance the faith and the knowledge, the absence of perception and the delight in the Creator, in a proportion that would ensure that a person will not once again fall prey to egoism. By adding a small portion of egoism to the original state, a person can use that small portion and still proceed as if he has learned nothing, just as in the original state. By balancing the right line with a small amount of the left line, a person in a way creates a middle line. The part of the left line in the middle line determines the elevation of a person's spiritual level. The spiritual state itself is considered to be that of the greater one. The following progression up to the final and highest level at which a person and the Creator fully merge in their qualities and desires occurs by gradual, alternating increase of the right and then the left lines. The balancing of both lines takes place at each level of the spiritual ladder. In the state of the right line, a person must be happy without any reason, but only from the thought that the Creator exists in his world. He does not require any other conditions for happiness. Such a state is known as happy with what one has. If nothing can bring a person out of this condition, it is considered to be absolute. But if one begins to test his spiritual state, he will see that he does not in any way get closer to the Creator, since he has also experienced the fact that he cannot correct himself. he asks the Creator for help. The light of the Creator that helps a person overcome the egoism of the body, or the desire to receive, is known as the soul. The most assured way to determine if an act is altruistic or egoistic is to see if a person feels that he's ready to disregard any outcome as a result of one's own work. Only in this case, having received pleasure, a person can still insist that he did it for the sake of the Creator and not for himself. The entire path of spiritual ascension is a gradual refusal to receive greater and greater pleasures, first the pleasures of our world, and then from the real spiritual pleasures, in particular the perception of the Creator. The Creator concealed himself in order to allow a person to gradually adjust to this task. Therefore, the concealment of the Creator should be viewed as an aspect of our correction, and we should ask him to reveal himself to us, since as soon as we are able to perceive him without any harm to ourselves, he will immediately reveal himself. If the person could feel the pleasure of perceiving the Creator in his initial egoistic state, he would never gather enough strength to part from his egoism to ask the Creator to grant him the willpower to withstand the pull of gratification. Like the night butterflies that rush towards the light that kills them, so a person would perish in the flames of pleasure, but still would not be able to depart from it. Only someone who has once in his life experienced the lack of strength in the face of great pleasure understands that he would not be capable of stopping himself from deriving pleasure if the enjoyment were greater than the power of his will in recognition of evil. The Creator hides from us specifically for our own good in order that we should not be overwhelmed by pleasures, and in this way to make it possible for us to go in the path of faith and to acquire vessels of bestowal. If a person wants to do something that is not for his benefit, then immediately his body or his egoism demands an exact accounting as to whether it's worth doing this, since without a goal, without the reward of pleasure, he's not capable of working, and he seeks all different kinds of shortcomings, spiritual desires, and defects in his spiritual goal or aims. Our body first asks, for what purpose do we need to be involved in this? In this situation, the body is called the evil inclination. In the stage after this, it disturbs a person from accomplishing what he had planned. In this situation, it's called Satan. In Hebrew, Satan is derived from the verb listot, which means to veer, because it wants to cause us to veer from the path. After this, it kills the spirituality of a person by taking away all of the feelings of spirituality from his learning and his involvement in the Kabbalah, and specifically gives pleasures dressed in the garments of this world. In this situation, it is called the angel of death. There's only one answer to all grievances of the body. I proceed forward, despite what you say to me, on the strength of faith, because so the Creator requires. This condition of the Creator is known as the law of the worlds beyond. A person does not have the strength to hold himself back from receiving pleasure, unless he first convinces himself that it's harmful to him. That is to say, he sets the mind against the heart. However, even in this case, it will take no more than a simple calculation what is for his good. Immediate pleasure and subsequent suffering, or avoiding the pleasure and remaining in his current situation. However, when he rejects pleasure, he must give his body an exact account of why it is not worthwhile for him to derive pleasure from that which came to him. Thus, a person can answer his body in the same language that the body understands, either in the language of pleasure, that it is worthwhile to get rid of foolish and occasional pleasures now for the sake of pleasures in the afterworld, or in the language of suffering, to say that it's not worthwhile to have pleasure now, but afterwards endure the suffering of hell. In this manner, a person must build the line of defense against his body. However, also, in this, the craving for pleasure can prevent a sensible accounting and paint a false picture of the correlation between pleasures and suffering. The only sure solution is to answer the body that he has decided to work on spirituality without any gain to himself, since in this case, he cuts all the connection between his actions and his body can no longer interfere with its calculations, or whether it is worthwhile not to work. This answer is called the work of the heart, since the heart longs for pleasures.